Well, take your Bible tonight and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to launch again tonight. We are in this series that we are calling Signs of the End. Now, we are learning here in chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy, where we are going to be throughout this entire study. These days are called, according to verse 1, if you have your Bible open, notice the very opening verse of this great prophetic chapter, the Bible says, "This know also, that in what days, church? In the last days," say it with me together, "perilous times shall come." Now, we learned last Sunday night that according to the book of Matthew, that word perilous means exceeding fierce. So when we see that opening, sentence on the top of your study guide, the word perilous in our text, translated from the exact same word that's translated as exceeding fierce in Matthew chapter number 8. Now, without being a doom and gloom prophet tonight, notice that phrase after that. I didn't zero in too much on it last Sunday night, but the times that we are living in are truly dangerous. Now, you and I, as we've emphasized, it sort of has been the theme of the day a little bit. Because we live in the first world, we have a tendency to think that the rest of the world has our problems. But I promise you tonight, our problems pale in comparison to what most of the world is facing. Very few of us tonight can even imagine living in a land where parents are being killed simply because they do not ascribe to a certain religious belief, and our children are left on the streets by themselves to fare for their own just because of the battle between Christianity and Islam. We can't imagine that. Our hearts ache, but we can't imagine that kind of peril. But listen, my friend, just because it hasn't happened here don't mean it ain't coming. A very wise founder of our nation once said, "If we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately." Are you all hearing me tonight? I know we have heard that, and I can't scold you tonight for being an American. I'm glad I'm one too. But we do have an isolation problem. We don't see what's really going on in much of the world. But tonight we're learning, and I'm not going to reteach any of what I taught last Wednesday night. I'll fill in the blanks. We said, number one, that danger of the day in which we live, number one, is that we see the danger in our hour of Islamic terrorism. I'm not going to re-preach that, but you don't even have to be very attuned to what's happening in the news to not see that we are absolutely confronting an enemy that 30, 40 years ago we didn't even think existed. And now it is the leading threat to our freedom in the entire world. The dangers of our times are seen in Islamic terrorism. We also learned last Sunday night in internet technology. I don't want to get on that. I'll get on a rabbit trail tonight. But there's so much danger, and it's just fingertips away. I will say this tonight. I dealt with this a little bit Wednesday night in our new beginners adult Bible class. In the average home tonight, we have replaced sitting around the table, having family devotions and having family interaction each evening around the dinner table. In the average home tonight, I'm not talking in the homes of pagans, I'm talking in the homes of God's people. Everybody's got their face buried in one of these. We're either texting, we're copying, we're pasting, we're scrolling, and we're right in the middle of our family and not even communicating with each other. You know, when I was a kid, Brother Shane, my mom and dad, I would say it was a rule, but the problem is it wasn't a rule. There was no other alternative, so we didn't view it as a rule. We viewed it as normal. We always had family dinner together. We sat around the table. We didn't watch TV while we ate. We had a television. Much of my childhood was in the mountains of Kentucky, and we could get one channel. and there was a little two-strand wire that went to the top of the mountain. About every foot, there was about an inch and a half plastic little white spacer, and we call that kind of cable, we call it squirrel wire. And it ran all the way to the top of the mountain to an antenna. And that wire, if you wanted five channels, you'd have had to run five of those wires at the top of the mountain and had five antennas up there. Brother Mike, the one channel we did get many times, all you had to have was one branch fall out of a tree, hit the wire, and there was no TV. I remember going weeks without television, not one thing. And we didn't even know we were missing out. I remember, Brother, Terry, me and my siblings, we would tell Mom and Dad at dinner, we want to do a play tonight, a family play. And we would have practiced leading up to the dinner that we put on a little play for the family. Can you imagine such simple days again? We used to be connected. By the way, the number one place in the Christian family years ago where connection was made was at the dinner table. Remember that verse? The Lord said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Remember Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come into him and what? Sup with him. Sup doesn't just mean eat. Sup means to fellowship while we eat. That alone, I mean, I could get into 100 evils tonight of the internet, but the number one danger I can see is what it's replaced. We don't even know our families anymore. We don't even know what's going on in our kids' lives anymore. I could go on and on. I won't tonight. Number three, we learned that the third danger in the times in which we're living is international turmoil. I could go on and on, but I'll leave that one tonight. Number four, we learned another danger of our time is seen in the ignoring of truth. Wokeism, transgenderism, climate alarmism, and on and on and on we go. Things that just are not the way we are told they are. And yet, it is the gospel of our age. And then we said, number five, last Sunday night, that there's a third or fifth danger, and that is incessant temptation. I mean, there's so many examples we could give tonight, but temptation is literally everywhere. And then number six, we said last Sunday night, the dangers of our times are also seen in the invisible terrors. I'm not going to elaborate what I talked about last week, but the thoughts of the book of the Jewish messianic preacher I mentioned last Sunday night called The Return of the Gods, we are seeing literally demonic powers literally overtake our age. He identifies in his book what he calls the Dark Trinity, the return of Baal, the return of Ashtaroth, the return of Molech. Baal is a god of prosperity. Is there any religion any more profound in our world tonight than the gospel of prosperity? Everybody wants to have more, get more, live an easier life. The second god he mentions that is returned in power is Ashtaroth, the god of sexuality, the god of enchantments. We are literally overwhelmed with sexual perversion. I could get deep into this. I won't tonight. But much of this transgender and all this stuff we're talking about, you know, telling the kids, you know, because you like pink and you're a little boy, maybe you're a girl. It's almost like that. Man, I want to be careful how I even say what I'm thinking tonight. But you sure have the impression the people behind this have got some very evil intentions for our children. And then, of course, we have the God of Molech. The God that caused the nations that worshipped him to sacrifice their children in the fires to their gods. Abortion, my friend, is the worship of Molech. And we could go on and on tonight. I can't because I want to get deeper into our study tonight. Look, if you will, at chapter number 3. We're still there tonight. Look at verse 13 as we launch into our new information tonight. Everybody knows the verse. Let's say it together in unison. Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Chapter 3, verse 13. Let's begin with that word but together. Are you ready? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice it says deceiving and being deceived. That means the people doing the deceiving are being deceived. What that means, Brother Terry, is the liars start believing their lies. Someone can say something over and over again, and it becomes true just because they say it over and over again. Now, listen to me very closely tonight. What we are talking about here, and I'm going to run through this part of my outline quickly tonight, but write this in this first blank there, that second flag tonight on your study guide. We're talking here about the dark digression of our times. The dark digression of our times. The dark digression of our times is foretold here in our text. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This sounds doom and gloom tonight, but it ain't going to get better, folks. Jesus is going to come again. God can still fix things that are broken. God can still right wrongs, but our world's not on a trend of post-millennial friends that have us to believe where mankind's going to usher in the millennium. Mankind's going to usher in eternity, but it's going to be the judgment of God upon humanity. There's five evidences. I could preach all of these, but I'm just going to give them to you tonight, and you chew on it for yourself. One of the evidences, Brother Byron, of this dark digression of our times is we see, number one, dying churches. Dying churches. Now, you got to hear me for a minute tonight. I don't mean dying in that they're all empty. There's two ways you can die as a church. Number one, shrivel up and die. Or number two, become something that no longer is a church. Now, I hit on it this morning. I could preach it for hours. We saw in our bringing up years, we saw an imbalance in many churches that was just, there's no nice way to say it, it was just legalism. And legalism, by the way, doesn't mean you're preaching that people should live right. Legalism is you're teaching people living right is what gets them blessed. In other words, I'm earning something. It's me that's making this happen. Oh, listen, every good thing happened in your life is because of God, not because of anything you did. You can't live good enough to earn one blessing from God. Every blessing from God is a result of Him being good and you and I being recipients of the grace of God. But listen to me very well. We have seen it. I won't get into this tonight, but we've seen so many churches drift off into anything we can do not to offend anybody. Anything we can do to draw a crowd. There's really a great doctrinal error here, and it's this principle. Think about it. I've mentioned this in previous services, but are we commanded to reach the world with the gospel? Before you even publicly respond to that, I want you to think about what I just said. Are we commanded to reach the world with the gospel? Or are we commanded to preach the gospel to the world? It may sound like there's no big deal, but that's two different worlds. If our command is to reach, then anything that works is okay. If our command is to preach the gospel to the world, then that means we got to do it the Bible way. Now, I'm just going to tell you something tonight. I showed to you last Sunday night, Hosea 3, Micah 4, 1. I believe in the last days we see the church in revival. In the last days we see the church prospering. I do not believe for a moment tonight. We were talking, as Brother Ken mentioned tonight again, in Jeremiah, where we read the last 2 days. Jeremiah yesterday we saw is actually he's in prison and he's commanded. He's given an offer by a family member to buy some land. And then God comes and tells him, buy the land. You say, why in the world would Jeremiah be buying land? God's getting ready to judge a nation. Nebuchadnezzar's about ready to invade. Why would he buy land? Because God's telling Jeremiah it's going to turn around. Good days are coming again. Hey, by the way, when the church is in the last days, it ain't time for the church to pack up and wait for a trumpet sound. We're to be occupying till He comes. We're supposed to be charging the gates of hell. When the last days come, we want to be on the firing line for Jesus. But some people get the Y2K syndrome. They see what's going on in the news. They see what's going on in the world. And they start trying to figure out where they can move and how far out in the mountains they can get. I hate to tell you all this, but there ain't nowhere in the mountains of North Carolina far enough away. You have to get a whole lot farther away. You probably have to move to Siberia or something. If you want to really get away, you're going to have to move somewhere to northern Canada. Hey, you can't get away from what's coming. This saying, hey, if God talks about in the tribulation that there's going to be a mark and those that don't have it can't buy or sell, you think you're going to get around that by storing up grain right now? Number one, I think we're going to get raptured out of here, so I ain't worried about that. But if we don't get raptured out of here and we do go through the tribulation, I don't think we're going to. But if we do, I'm still going to keep on trusting the Lord. Hey, now listen. Let's stick with the old-time way. I'm not talking about old-time religion of the 1950s or 60s. I'm talking about year one of the church. I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. That's old-time religion for me. I want to go back to where Jesus was. Amen. I want to go back to the earliest days of Christianity. That's old-time religion for this old boy. Amen. But we see everywhere a drifting away, a dying of churches. Number two, another dark digression in this age is what I call the divergent culture. What is divergent culture, preacher? I could get real political tonight. I'm not going to do that for time, but we are being pitted against one another. Did you hear what I said? I'm not making excuses. There is no doubt that our black brothers and sisters endured much persecution at one time in our nation's history. And I think righting every wrong we can racially for any injustice is a fair argument. But listen. Race relations were improving and have been for many, many years. If y'all notice, that ain't what's going on tonight. I mean, literally, we're seeing riots. From the Black Lives Matter riots and on we're going. None of this is coincidental. This is a divergence in our culture. Muslim against Christian, black against white, Hispanic against Native. You just go on and on and on tonight. We're watching our culture disintegrate. You say, well, but if we elect the right man, hey, by the way, I hope we get a conservative in the White House next election, but I'm going to tell you something. That ain't going to fix the problem. Because this problem is not an American problem. This is a global problem. This is the last days, folks. These are perilous times. These are exceeding fierce times. I could go on and on tonight. We see number three, and boy, this one I could really dwell on, but I'm not going to for time tonight. But we see depressed Christians. Depression is at an all-time high. I'm not scolding anybody tonight who's dealing with depression. I'm going to tell you why we're dealing with depression, brother Chris. We're dealing with depression because this is the last days. There's stuff going on that we've never faced before. There is uncertainty we've never contemplated before. There is a uneasiness in the air that nobody quite knows when the next shoe's going to drop. And you can be as positive as you want to be, and you ought to try to be, but this is supernatural stuff. This isn't just natural stuff. Number five, a denying of convictions. Oh, I could preach about this. I won't again, but it is amazing to me tonight. While I am absolutely the enemy of legalism tonight, I tell you, I still believe we ought to live right. I still believe right's wrong. I still believe right's right and wrong is wrong. I still believe the up is up and down is down. Would to God we'd clarify and quit meddling. Hey, listen, the reason so many people want it gray is they don't want to be accountable. And Mom and Dad, I don't want to pick on you tonight, but whatever we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. Every giant you and I do not slay, our children will have to slay. Every evil we are afraid to confront, our children will confront in a far greater degree. A denying of convictions. And you hate to even get into stuff like this because everybody thinks that any conviction is legalism. And again, legalism is not a conviction. Legalism is teaching people that you have to do something to get God to bless you. That's what legalism is. Now listen to me. Young people, you're going to give an account to God for the life you live. And you're not going to be able to say, well, Lord, I didn't know that was wrong. He's going to say, I put it in the book. What do you mean you didn't know it was wrong? I wish to God tonight that preachers didn't have to deal with this kind of stuff. But I wish there'd be an absolute, in the old-fashioned Bible-believing Christian families, a baptism of holiness again. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You say, what's that mean? I don't really know what it means, Brother David, other than it doesn't sound good. It sounds like that God cares how we live. That's not legalism. That's you and I feeling responsible because God's been so good to us. That one we said, worthy is he tonight. You know what? He's not just worthy to have our hands raised in church. He's worthy for us to keep our hands off stuff that ain't ours and keep them clean so he can use them. Do you know the reason for biblical separation is not so that the rule or the standard is lifted up? Every standard, every rule is a means to an end. That's all it is. You know what holy living's about? It's me keeping my vessel clean so God can use me. That's what it's all about. Young ladies, young men, how you dress, who you hang around, what you listen to, all of that's immaterial. It's so you stay clean so God can use you. Nobody wants to accept a gift from someone's hand that's filthy. If I hand you a beautiful object to eat, but you look at my hands and they're all covered in filth and garbage, and you're not going to say, well, that looks good. You're going to say, oh, my goodness. Nobody wants to hear your testimony if you ain't got nothing holy going on inside of your life. Hey, listen. A denying of convictions. And number five tonight, a destabilizing of countries. If nothing else ought to freak us out tonight, it ought to be the reaction across the globe tonight and in large part in our country toward what the Hamas terrorists did to the Israelis. In our country, right now, mobs, I mean, are storming all over the country, saying from the land to the sea. That's a little cloak statement is kill all the Jews. I've been reading a bunch of articles the last couple of weeks, and Brother Shane, one of the things all the articles are lamenting is that the Democratic Party is freaking out that so many Democrats want the Jews obliterated. Now, there's probably a lot of good Democrats that don't believe that, but the reality is there's a lot of leftists in the Democratic Party in our nation that literally have fallen off the deep end. I mean, they're believing stuff now that's stuff that's not just wrong, stuff that's wicked. And it's becoming commonplace. I don't know if y'all saw this. I don't do TikTok, but I got, it's largely because the Chinese Communist Party is behind the whole thing. I wouldn't have TikTok if you paid me. But on TikTok, they put out, 2 weeks ago, they put out a letter from Osama bin Laden that he wrote to America 20 years ago. And it explained why they attacked us. And in large, huge numbers of American college students all said, we understand. Makes sense to us. I was reading Brother Mike one famous author, a very liberal author, who said everything that the terrorists did on 9/11 was justified. And TikTok, this is TikTok, took it off. They took it down. Not because they love us, but they realized this thing's fermenting something crazy. What we're actually seeing, folks, is a destabilizing of nations. We're seeing a destabilizing of nations. Now look, if you will, at our third flag tonight. I think I filled this in last Sunday night. I'm just going to hurry and get to the back tonight of our study guide. But the perilous times mentioned in our text tonight deal with four issues. And we're looking at the first one tonight, and it'll take us one more Sunday night, I think, to finish. But number one, in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, we're seeing the perils that are ruinous. Number two, in chapter 3, verse 5 through 9, we're going to look at the powerlessness in the last days that is in religion. And then in chapter 3, verse 10 through 13, we're going to look in our third study in the preachers that are real. And in 14 through 17, the pages that are right. As soon as you get all that filled out, let's flip over to our back tonight. And let's see, it's right now 7:01. I got in the pulpit about 20 minutes ago. Let me have about 5 or 6 more minutes and I'll I'll finish tonight. Would you do that? Let me fill in real quick for you that opening flag on the back. This is real important. Notice in that first blank, write the word ruinous there. The ruinous perils that characterize these perilous times mentioned here that we're going to look at, I'll try to get through at least one or two of them here real quick tonight, and next Sunday night, offer a sobering, and I want you to get these two words, a sobering catalog of corruption. They offer a sobering catalog of corruption. There is so much corruption going on tonight in places of power, it can't even be comprehended. The level of corruption, and let me give you the last phrase. I'll explain both real quick. Not only are these perilous times mentioned in our text tonight giving us a sobering catalog of corruption, but also two words here, what I call primeval paganism. We are literally watching society revert back to the earliest days of paganism. Let me give you a couple quick examples. Catalog of corruption. Now, I'm going to get controversial for a moment, but I don't think controversial here, but if someone doesn't like what I'm saying, this probably is controversial. But how did China get off the hook for COVID-19? Last week, our president welcomed and treated him like a hero, the communist dictator of China, into the United States last week. His motorcade from the airport to the meeting with president, I don't know how this happened, Brother Ken, was lined with nothing but communist Chinese flags, not a single American flag in the entire motorcade. I don't mean on the cars. I mean lining the streets for block after block after block in San Francisco. You'd think he landed in Beijing, China. He landed in America. Do you know that in President Trump's last year in office, the year that COVID-19 started, 377,883 American deaths were attributed either directly to or indirectly to the COVID virus. 2,800 died on 911. We went to war over it. 377,000 Americans died in 2000. In President Biden's first year in office, 2021, 800,000 Americans died from COVID. Folks, that's in 2 years, 1.177 million people. We're being told it was all Trump's fault. Everything's Trump's fault. Y'all know that. I'm not trying to be ugly tonight. I'm not trying to be controversial. We were told a bunch of stuff by our government about how to be safe, and now we're being told that a lot of stuff they told us, they even knew wasn't true. They closed our churches down. They closed businesses down. They closed schools down. They told us what we could and couldn't do. Now we're being told that masks probably didn't help anybody. Now, if you still think wearing a mask is important, I'm not mad at you, man. God bless you. But you talk about putting fear in our country. Catalog of corruption at the grandest of scales. How about this one? Do you know that members of President Biden's cabinet said that abortion would be good for the economy? It would help get inflation down if we just killed some more babies. Folks, we're talking about primeval paganism. Now, this is controversial. Jane Goodall, God bless her memory, is known as the Gorilla Lady. She went to Gambia, Africa, and inserted herself in the guerrilla cultures. By God's grace, she didn't get killed. But she became an anthropologist, but her expertise was it with primates. Now, I didn't have any problem with Jane when she stayed in the arena that she was in, but Jane Goodall said. Now, I've even heard people, I've heard this counteracted, people on the left trying to say she didn't mean what it's being implied, but I'm just quoting her. She said just a couple years ago that to solve the world's problems, we need to reduce the global population to what it was 500 years ago. Folks, the global population 500 years ago was 438 million people. Today it's 8 billion. What she was advocating is reducing the world's population by 95%. That's the answer to the climate crisis. She's a god in the world of science. And I've read several people that have said she didn't mean that. Well, I'd like to know what she meant. It sure don't sound like she was promoting pro-life issues, for sure. Y'all know what this is about. These people worship Mother Earth. And they think the worst thing ever happened to Mother Earth is we showed up here. And we're ruining this earth. And I'm not saying man hasn't abused the earth. Man has done a lot of abuse of the earth, and I don't think God is pleased with that. But I'm trying to say tonight, the ruinous perils characterizing our text tonight offer a sobering catalog of corruption and primeval paganism. Write this down at the end of this little opening paragraph tonight. These characteristics, this is so crucial, are not speaking of bad times. What they're speaking of is bad people. The perilous times of the last days are not talking about bad times. They're talking about bad people. Evil on a scale the world has never seen before. Now look at that next flag there, and indulge me quickly. I ask you to give me just a couple more minutes. Notice this phrase, the individuals of this age are identified by what they love. Everything we'll see in verse 1 through 4, the individuals of this age, the bad people of this perilous time, are identified by what they love. And here's what they love. This list finds its root cause in one of two loves that are wayward loves. Lovers of self or lovers of money. Every evil cataloged in these perilous times can be traced back to a wayward love. Love of self or love of money. Are you all with me tonight? See if I can give you one or two. Let's look in verse number 2 very quickly tonight. As we look at these perilous times in which we are now living, the Bible says, for men, say it with me out loud, would you, shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. Write this down. The first evidence of this is seen in hobbies over holiness. Boy, I could get on a rabbit trail here tonight. Are we eat alive with hobbies or what? I'm not picking on any of you parents that have had your kids involved in sports. But every parent here who knows tonight, there is some reason to stay out of church every weekend of the year. I'm not picking on you. I'm not being mean. I'm not being judge. I'm just saying, you know what I'm talking about. Basketball, hockey, baseball, football, lacrosse, you name it. It's everywhere. And it doesn't mean that any of that is evil in itself. But is it easy to get off track in this day and age or what? And that ain't even counting all the hobbies we can get into that ain't got nothing to do with our kids. What about hunting, fellas? In Michigan, where we're from originally, opening day, here in North Carolina, I appreciate opening day happens every year on the same weekday. It moves around on the calendar date, but it's always on the same weekday. It's always on a Saturday. But back in Michigan, it was always opening day of firearm deer season. It always happened on the 15th of November, no matter what day it fell upon. Well, you know what that meant, Brother Mike? About every 5 or 6 years, opening day of deer season fell on Sunday. Ain't going to be no deer blind on Sunday. Say, well, is that a sin? That ain't what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about perilous times. Men being lovers of their own selves, that means we put us over anything else. Over church, over God. But it also means this. It means putting sin over sanctification. Now, we could get in a three-hour Bible study tonight, and we ain't got time to do that. Do you know that sanctification literally means to be set apart for God? It means to be usable by God. That's what everything in my life is supposed to focus upon. Since I've been saved, since I got justified, that's what salvation is when you get justified. But part of my salvation is also getting sanctified, so one day I'll be glorified. From the moment of salvation, from the moment I trusted Christ till I leave this earth, the Spirit of God is sanctifying me, making me set apart for the Master's use. How many sins are enough? How many sins are okay? How many of you have asked or you've heard it asked, what's wrong with just fill in the blank? That's the wrong question. That's like saying this. What's wrong with me walking right here? It ain't a sin. No, but it's stupid. Because all you got to do is slip a little bit and you're on the face. You're on your face. Here's the way I ought to live. If that's danger, I ought to get way back over here. So if I stumble and fall, I'm still safe. What was wrong? Hey, listen, just because there's not a chapter and verse on every single sin, we thought up more than the Bible has pages to fill in. I don't think it's wrong to smoke cigarettes. The Bible don't say nothing about smoking camels. Well, you know why the Bible doesn't say it's wrong to smoke camels? Because somebody back in the Bedouin age would have thought, don't eat camel meat that's been smoked. So no, God didn't specifically say it's wrong to smoke nicotine cigarettes. But what he did say is abstain from all appearance of evil. What he did say is your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Hey, you're not going to go to hell if you smoke cigarettes. You might smell like you've been there. And I've never enjoyed getting gospel tracts from people that say, and they blow a bunch of nicotine in my face. No, you're not going to go to hell if you smoke cigarettes. But listen, you know it ain't what you ought to be doing as a set apart, sanctified believer. But how many things in our day and age do we justify?
Well, at least I ain't cheating on my wife.
Well, at least I ain't a drunk. That's men loving them own selves. Somebody real quick grab our Bible. It is right now. I'm going to take one more minute, so we got to go fast. Somebody real quick grab Romans 15. I want someone to read a verse for us there. And somebody also find 2 Corinthians 5:15. Would someone find that real quick? And somebody find Philippians 2. I'll ask whoever gets to Romans 15 first, just jump up. Brother Ken, you got it? Why don't you read real quick for us, Brother Ken, Romans 15, verse 1 through 3. Listen to what it says.
We then that are strong ought to bear infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.
How many would agree tonight that pretty well settles the issue? Someone read for me real quick, 2 Corinthians 5:15. Who found that for me? Brother Eric, jump up real quick.
Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit.
That's not what I have.
No, did you say 2 Corinthians 5:15? I'm sorry. Hey, that's a good verse, but I was thinking that ain't the one I was thinking. You got it now? Now read it. Amen. Thank you, Brother David. Amen.
And that he that died for all which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Right.
So I'm supposed to live for Jesus, not for John.
Right.
I'm supposed to live for others, not myself. I'm supposed to live for the cause of Christ, not for the cause of me. Are you all with me tonight? Philippians 2:21, who's got that one? Philippians 2:21. Brother Brian?
For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ.
For all seek their own. Would to God in these last days there's a remnant of people that ain't following this terrible trail. Number one, we said that men should be lovers of their own selves. Let me end with this one tonight. Write down number two and we'll just develop this and be done here. The Bible mentions next the word covetous. Someone real quick find Luke 12:15. Would someone find Luke 12:15? And then someone also find real quick Romans chapter 1. In verse number 25. And somebody find Colossians chapter 3. We're almost done tonight. Somebody who's found Romans or Luke chapter 12, jump up real quick. Who found Romans, Luke chapter 12? Brother David, read verse number 15 for us, if you will.
And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
Jesus said, take heed. Let me explain that. He said, listen here, big boy. Pay attention right now. That's what the word heed means. Jesus said, he didn't say beware of temptations when it comes to sex. He didn't say beware of alcohol. He didn't say beware of drugs. By the way, all three of those are bad things. When he said take heed, this is what he put at the top of the list. Beware of covetousness. You know why? Because covetousness is one of the signs of the last days. Covetousness is one of the darkest of sins. Covetousness is buying a brand new car, Brother Todd, and thinking it is so great. And you pull in the driveway, and as soon as you get out of your car, the neighbor pulls in. You got an F-150, he pulls in with an F-250. You got an XL, you got the bare bones, you got a work truck, he pulls in a King Ranch. I mean, you got the painted rims on yours, he pulls in with rims that are $1,000 a piece. And all of a sudden, your brand new truck looks like a pile of junk. I'll tell you a world that this is hilarious in is in the world of boating. Man, a guy goes out to the marina. I mean, he buys a used boat and pays $100,000 for it. He pulls into the marina, and somebody pulls in with a boat that's 4 feet longer. You know how much 4 more feet will cost you in a boat? About $500,000. And all of a sudden, his beautiful boat now just don't measure up because somebody pulled in with a nicer one. Y'all okay? Remember back, Brother Shane, when giant screen TVs were rear projection? It took like 4 men to get them in and out of the house. I mean, they were about as thick as the Lord's Supper table is. Then they just started getting flatter and cheaper and flatter and cheaper. Do you know that those, we paid $3,000 for those two screens. Those are 85 inches. Ain't they impressive? I bet you 8 or 9 of you got one of them in your house and you paid half that for it. That's just the way the world of technology, bigger, bigger, better, better, bigger, better. Guess what? That's all feeding covetousness. Write this down, if you will. Covetousness is lovers of money. The last two blanks, craving for the creation more than the creator. Romans chapter 1, who found that for me? Verse 25. Romans 1:25, who's got it? Somebody, yes, go ahead and read it. Savannah?
Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen.
Read verse 29 also.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers.
God puts covetousness in a category of murderers. You say, how could it be that wicked? Who found Colossians? We're going to stop with this tonight. Colossians. Who found it? Colossians. Savannah, go ahead and read it real quick. You're quick. Colossians, listen to what she reads for us. This is so simple. Verse number 5. Listen real close.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil covetousness.
Thank you.
And covetousness, which is idolatry.
Well, time out. Did you see that last phrase?
Yeah.
And covetousness, which is idolatry. You say, what's the idol, preacher, if I'm a covetous person? More, bigger, better. Let me end with this tonight. I had a dear man say to me one day, good man, still love him, still thank God for him. Very, very innocent question. Brother Robbie came to me one day and he said, preacher, he said, I think I'm going to be able to retire in a year or so. Now, he would have retired in his mid-50s when he told me this. And he said, what do you think, preacher? I said, well, explain a little more to me. He said, well, I will have all my bills paid. He not only owned one beautiful home and quite a bit of land, he owned another beautiful place on the lake. He goes, they're both paid for. Vehicles all paid for. He owned several businesses. They're all paid for. And I know the guy. He's a good man, and he's a hard-working man. He's a driven man. And I said, you know what I think? And I won't call his name. I'll just say his name was Frank. It wasn't Frank, but I'll say that by illustration. I said, Brother Frank, I'll tell you what I think you should do. I said, I think if you really think you should retire at 55, you ought to come down to the church and help us about 4 days a week when you retire. And count, let your life count for eternity. I said, or since you already said you don't need any more money, you got all your bills paid, why don't you work for 5 more years and give every bit of it to missions? He said he didn't need it. He said he could retire. Man, he looked at me, and he's a good guy, but he looked at me like, stink, preacher. What a terrible answer you gave me, because I can't argue with you. My point was only to say this, brother. God didn't put you here to sleep. God didn't put you here to rest. God didn't put you here to play. God put you and I here to reach this world with a message of the gospel. Eternity's for playing. We won't be doing no bad stuff in eternity. All our playing will be holy and sanctified and righteous. But you know as well as I, and by the way, he's a good guy, but didn't illustrate that tonight to throw him under the bus, but he did not retire, and I don't think he gave it all to missions. But he is a very generous man, and I know he did what he thought the Lord told him to do. The point of that illustration tonight is this. Why do you want to win the lottery? I want you to think about that. Can I tell you why people want to win the lottery? They want to undo the curse. God said, since Adam's sin in the garden, you have to work to live. And you know what quick riches are? It's trying to undo the curse. God don't want you to have it easy till this thing's over. God wants you to get up every day and need God to get through the day. God wants you to walk with him. God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to live for him. It isn't wrong to retire. I didn't imply that tonight. But it's wrong for me to get covetous and carnal and living for me and not the Lord.